Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The dominion of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Jesus told them another parable. The dominion of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The dominion of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, where a man found and had, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the dominion of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the dominion of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into the baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the dominion of heaven is like a householder who brings out of the household treasure, what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and would like to invite children to come forward to help with the gospel lesson. Oh, you're going to have company, Ellie. Good, good. Thank you all. You can have a seat. So this last week or so, I was on vacation, and I was way up in the mountains in Washington State. Do you guys know what's way up in the mountains, in the woods, in Washington? What might be creeping around there? Animals. What kind of animals? There are deer and bears. There were lots of bears, it turned out. Would you like to see a bear? Yes. How about you? Okay. How about you all? Yes. I really wanted to see a bear. And there were bears in this village and all around. And we went with other friends like Jeanette and Richard, and they saw bears, and Paul and Cindy saw bears, and my wife saw bears. Did I see any bears? No, I didn't see any bears. Not a single one. So I walked out where I heard they were. We walked down this path along the river and toward the woods looking for bears. Did I see a bear? No, no bear. Then one day I heard there was bears that was walking through the village. I ran out of the building. Did I see the bear? No, didn't see the bear. I was getting really upset about it. And so finally, I walked down toward the big, big lake, and on the way, and I was walking with friends, and on the way, we were going by the ranger station, and we heard this rustling, and everybody starts running over, and what did they see? A bear. But did I see the bear? No, I didn't see the bear. So, the last day that we were there came, and I hadn't seen a bear. Everybody else had seen bears. And so I got in the bus, and we go down the mountain to get on the boat to go home. I guess I'm not going to see any bears. But we were about a third of the way, and somebody in the bus goes, whoa, whoa, look, look, look. Guess what was running across the road? A bear. And did I see the bear? Yes! I saw the bear just when I was going home. One little bear, maybe he was a teenager type bear, and he was going to find his place in the woods. So, and it gave me such a good feeling. But here's what I was thinking was so important about, there's lots of bears, right? And there's lots of other animals in the woods. As Jesus was telling us stories today, he says sometimes something very, very small can explode and expand in our hearts and in the world into something very, very good and important. What this one little bear reminded me of was how beautiful and joyful and good the whole creation is. And if it is that good, what should we do with the whole creation? Expend it and take care of it? Yes. We should look after the creation. So this little bear was like a treasure to me. Reminded me of the goodness of God's creation and that we are all called to be part of God's creation and care for it and care for one another. So it was a happy day to see that bear. Thank you, guys. Let's have a little prayer together. Lord, we give you thanks for creation, for the joys of all the creatures, and we pray that you would inspire and encourage and empower us to care for the whole world and all those who are in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. So I guess on a different note, or maybe we'll end up in the same spot, maybe. But Paul writes, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. As many of you know, a couple of decades now have had a Tuesday morning Bible study, which goes from in the academic year from September to May. As we conclude at the end of each May, we try to decide on, well, what's our next topic going to be come September? This time, we decided to reflect upon prayer. That topic arose, I think, kind of as St. Paul says, we're not sure. We do not know how to pray as we ought. Now, sometimes that may mean that we are praying for the wrong things. A few of those wrong things are noted as we reflect on Solomon's conversation or Solomon's prayer with God. We see what maybe aren't the best things to pray for. Although, I have to say, I've prayed for long life myself. However, maybe more deeply, more often it seems that it is hard for us to pray at all. Maybe we have lost all confidence in prayer, in dialogue with God. And perhaps that is because we aren't as confident as St. Paul that all of these things that we experience in the world are working for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. I suspect that many of us ask, what could God's purpose be in the midst of so much ungodly stuff going on in the world? We experience and hear about, if we're not part of, thankfully in many cases, interminable wars, often in the name of God. We know that there are masses of children dying of hunger and disease. In our country, we experience a kind of persistent ill will of polarization, of leadership, I would say, that's anything but Solomon-like. And in context of my conversation with the children and you all, the experience of the degradation of the planet itself. All these things work to separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ Jesus. What kind of purpose could be at work here? But as ungodly as these things are, we all know in our hearts that there is only one who separates us from God's love. And it's not the devil. I'm making my own confession here. It is we who lose faith, who lose heart, who cannot find ourselves in conversation with God. So, our prayer life flags. Or does it? In our weakness, the scripture says, the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. When we can't speak, the Spirit brings our doubts, our sorrows, our desperations. All we dare not say or cannot say, except with sighs or tears or anguish, the Spirit brings these to the ears of God, to the very heart of God, who promises always to listen. And it is not only, St. Paul says, with spiritual sighs that our concerns are brought to God, but with flesh and blood, with the Word of God made flesh in Jesus Christ. God comes to us in Christ Jesus, whose whole life is prayer, whose whole life is prayer for us, to God, for us, in body and spirit, present with us in all the disasters that we experience and cause. And that final sigh, too deep for words, is Christ's sigh of death on the cross, giving up the Spirit. It is a sigh of such deep sorrow that we so often cannot keep relationship in life through trust and prayer, through conversation and community and creation with God. It is a sigh of pain that the one who came for all, who loves all, who is connected to all, is in the end abandoned, left alone, on the cross, on a lonely hill. And so prayer ceases, it seems. But no, for still the Christ prays for us. The Christ prays for our forgiveness in body and spirit, his own body and spirit, prays for our restoration, for our redemption. To the prayer of his life and death, God listens. And in the listening, raises him and so us in forgiveness and new life, so that we with St. Paul can say that nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And now toward the parables. Is this conviction, this faith, that amidst all, amidst the very worst of things and the best of things, we are not separated from the God of life who loves us? Is not this conviction the treasure hidden in the field, the one pearl of great value for which we entrust our whole lives, the small seed that when planted multiplies community and care among people, the yeast that spreads out among our relationships and communities to bring care and healing? Surely the realm of God, the community of God, is like this. For in our connection to the God of life in Christ Jesus, we are connected to all for whom he prays, whom he loves. We cannot be separated from one another. We cannot be separated, as the children helped us understand, from creation itself. And so we are called, in faith, to be agents of care, of healing, of prayer for all who are in need, and as Jesus says, for our enemies as well. We are called to pray. We join our hearts in prayer. Open our hearts to the community of all for which you call us, O Lord. Help us work for the care and healing of the whole creation. Bring all who are separated by fear together in peace. Help us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.